Verse number 28. Would you stand, please? We'll read four verses. I'll make my prayer and then I'll announce the message and then make my prayer and then preach the message. And I won't be long tonight. Acts chapter 28. I hear we have cake afterwards if Brother Larry will share. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to tell everybody when I go back. The song leader wears socks like that, and the missionary's wearing maternity pants. I don't know what I'm going to say about all that, but Acts 28:28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And I want to preach on this subject. He's not finished yet. He's not finished yet. Father, we pray now that you would bless the reading of your word. Lord, help me, I pray, as I preach this message. May I do that with thy power. And Lord, I pray that I do it clearly, concisely, and accurately. I pray. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the honor to be here. Father, thank you for our missionaries. Lord, thank you for this conference. And I pray that you would bless now. May it not stop. May, just because it's a closing night, may it not stop. May you continue to work in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. As Baptists, we often get nervous when we hear a sermon entitled or talking about the Holy Spirit. When I say he's not finished yet, I'm not talking about the Apostle Paul. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not done working yet. Immediately when somebody says, I'm going to preach on the Holy Spirit, oh, he's charismatic. Can I tell you, we've allowed the charismatics to steal the doctrine of the Holy Spirit from us. I know there's seven times in the Bible the word Holy Spirit is used, and in the New Testament, I think it's 89 times the Holy Ghost is used. But can I tell you, the word Spirit is used 523 times in Scripture. And the Holy Spirit is working, and we need to know that he's working. And as the preacher said, he is working and has been working this week. The book of Acts ends rather abruptly. Notice what it says. It says, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. This book seems to end very abruptly. There's no closing statement like, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. As the closing of the book of Romans. Nor is there, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Found in 1 Corinthians. You say, well, this book was written by by Luke. Well, Luke wrote a closing on Luke 24, 52 and 53. It says, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And we continued in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. So it's not the fact that Luke didn't know how to write a closing. It's just the fact that the Holy Spirit didn't inspire him to put a closing on the end of this book. We must realize that the book of Acts is a book of action. And we often read at the title, the Acts of the Apostles. The truth of the matter is, this book should be titled Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that does the work in us and through us to bring men to Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Both. We need to be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost, but also here in Seattle. And so let me just speak to you about doing work here in Seattle and winning men, bringing men to Jesus here as well. You know, we'd be very hypocritical if we'd send these missionaries on their way and we'd not do what we're supposed to do here in our hometown. So that brings me to the question, why is the book of Acts simply ended so abruptly? And I think the reason is because the Holy Spirit's not done yet. He's not done working yet. He's not done, look at verse number 28. He's not done working with the Gentiles. Look at what it says here. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it. The Holy Ghost isn't finishing saving Gentiles. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Can I tell you something, friend? We need to bring people to Jesus. This revival that you have coming up, you have an opportunity to bring people to Jesus. This missions conference should not end tonight. This missions conference should start tonight. Start by sending the missionaries out, but start by bringing men to Jesus. God is working in the Gentiles right now. I understand that the Jews have a veil over their eyes. I understand that they're set aside for a time. They're still beloved of the Father, by the way, and I'll get to that in a moment. But we Gentiles ought to be working to see people saved. We have freedom in this country that some countries don't have. We need to use that. But we must do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. We must ask God for the power of the Holy Spirit. God is still working with us Gentiles. How long will he work? Until he's done. Until he's done. We have a minister. There's a ministry up in the Chicago area. It's called Reformers Unanimous. And one of their men went into the prison, was doing some prison work. And a fellow by the name of Brian Palmer got saved. Brian Palmer trusted Christ as his Savior and started going through the program. He got burdened for his uncle that lives in the St. Louis area. So he called one of our preacher boys. He knew Matt Kaiser, one of my fellows from our church that started a church in the county south of us. He called Pastor Kaiser and he said, "Brother Kaiser, I have an uncle named Dan who needs to be saved. Would you go witness to him?" And Brother Kaiser said, "Be glad to." Got his address, went out. And Dan had had several strokes and he couldn't drive, but Dan was open to the gospel. And Dan got on his knees and he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. I said, "Amen." Well, Brother Kaiser called me and he said, "Brother Bragg," he said, "Preacher, Dan only lives about 4 or 5 miles from your church. How about you guys going and getting him?" You know what? It's amazing when independent Baptists cooperate. Amen. Well, he called me. So I went and got picked up Dan. Dan comes every Sunday. Dan came and got baptized, joined the church. He started bringing people and people got saved. He called me one day and he said, "Preacher, my daddy, I think he was in his 80s, is in a nursing home. He said, would you go witness to my dad?" And I said, "Brother Dan, I'd be glad to." So I went to witness to Ernie Palmer. Now, as I went, he said to me, he said, "Now, Brother Bragg," he said, he's an old Italian Catholic. And he may run you off. He may not even talk to you. And so I prayed hard before I left. I thought, you know, this guy's getting, he's in his 80s. He may not live much longer. And let me tell you something, we may not have much time. And so I went on a Saturday, and I thought I'd do this, preacher. I thought I'd go make myself known and talk to him, get to know him a little bit, and then maybe go back the next week and try to talk to him about the Lord. But as I was going to the home, the Lord said to me, "You better talk to him today." So I went in and it was about 11:15, between 11:15 and 11:30. And I said to the nurse, "Is Ernie in his room or is he in the, where are you guys at in your schedule? Do you eat early?" She said, "Oh, we're getting ready for lunch, but he's probably still in his room. Why don't you go visit him in his room?" So I walked into his room and he was just taking a nap. And I shook him and I said, "Ernie, my name's Ed Bragg. I'm a pastor at your son Dan got saved and trusted Christ as Savior. In fact, your great nephew got saved." And I said, I just started talking to him and I said, "Would you like to hear the gospel?" I don't know why I asked that question. "Would you like to hear the gospel?" And he sat up in bed and he looked straight in my eyes and he said, "I sure would." And I thought, wow. And you know how it is, preacher, when the Holy Spirit says, "You better do something now." And I said, "Ernie," and I took my Bible and opened my Bible and I showed Ernie how to be saved. I said, "Now, Ernie, wouldn't you like to trust Christ as your Savior?" He said, "I would." Ernie bowed his head and trusted Christ as his personal Savior. I mean, it was one of those God moments where the Holy Spirit shows up and you can't explain it. You can't orchestrate it. It's just God that does it. Went home, finished my work on Sunday or Saturday, went home. 3 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, I got a call from Dan. He said, "My pa just went home. Preacher, did you get a chance to talk to my daddy?" I said, "Dan,
He trusted Christ yesterday morning about 11:30. That's close. God is still working with people. The Holy Spirit's not done yet. He's not done working yet. We need to bring people to the Lord. By the way, we can't convict them. We can't convert them. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I want to convict people, but I can't do it. I want to put the whammies on them and tell them how bad they are. What we need to do is be a witness. Tell them about God's judgment, but tell them about God's love and how much they can be forgiven and God's grace, and let the Holy Spirit of God convict them. And the Holy Spirit of God does the converting, by the way. I can't convert. You know, I'm afraid there's probably, hate to say it, there's probably a lot of Ed Bragg converts around instead of Holy Spirit converts. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's not done working with the Gentiles. He's not finished with them. Number two, he's not finished working with the Jews. Look at chapter 28, verse number 29. And when he, that was Paul, had said these words, the Jews departed and had reasoning among themselves. And as I said, right now the Jews, for the most part, have a veil over their face. But God is regathering Israel and bringing Israel back. And Isaiah 59 verse number 20 says, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant unto them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seeds, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. There's going to come a day when the nation of Israel is going to turn and look to those, the one that they pierced. Let me just read this. I didn't have it on my paper, fellas, if you're doing the pictures up there or the scripture. But Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 10, there's going to come a day when there's a revival that's going to take place in Israel. It's going to be in the middle of the tribulation when they realize that they are worshiping the wrong Messiah. When the abomination of desolation sets on the seat of the throne at a temple in Jerusalem, they're going to realize, wait a minute, he's not the one. He's not the one. Jesus is the real Messiah. And the Bible says this in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 10, and I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications. They shall look on me, upon me, whom they pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. There's going to be a revival someday in Israel. And I won't be here. By the way, if you're saved, you won't either. But we're trying to get as many Bibles in as we can to get in on that revival that's going to take place. Amen? You know, if you know a revival is going to take place, it's going to happen. We can get in on it. Amen? We can pray and ask God to help those Jewish people to believe. They will. Let's look at the third point. Go to chapter 28, back to Acts chapter 28, if you would. The Holy Spirit's not done working with Israel. It's point two. Point three, the Holy Spirit is not finished supplying the needs of the missionaries. Brother Larry, thank you for the testimony. Boy, thank you for the testimony, how God supplies. And as you said, nobody can explain that. I mean, the reindeer story, nobody can explain that. Only God does that. Because he's not done working yet. He's not done working. Look at chapter 28, verse number 30. And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Now we all know that the Apostle Paul was beheaded. But before he was beheaded, do you know that the Apostle Paul had 2 years in a hired house where he received people and he preached to people and he had freedom to preach to anyone that came in? And there's a scripture, and I couldn't find it, but it says the saints of Caesar's household, he even won people to Christ who were from Caesar's household. Let me tell you something. You say, oh, preacher, it's bad. It's terrible. It's a bad day. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit isn't done working yet. And he's not done supplying the missionaries' needs. 2 whole years in a hired house. He wasn't rotting in a jail cell. He had a hired house where people came and saw him. And he preached the gospel freely at that time. Only God could do that. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can do that. The Holy Spirit isn't finished supplying the needs of our saints. Some of you young people, you hear stories that Brother Quaid told just a moment ago. And boy, I wish that God would do something with me. You know, God is interested in working with you. Who's going to take his place? I can't believe that God's not dealing with young people about going to the mission field. I just refuse to believe that. I believe God is still working with young people. But young people need to say yes to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to them. You noticed he said, I'm just a normal person, and I just said yes to Jesus as he spoke to me all the way along. And I remember when I was a teenager, I wanted to be a missionary. I was like the preacher. Anybody that came to preach in our church, if he's going to Japan, I wanted to be a missionary to Japan. Or if he's going to Australia, I wanted to be a missionary to Australia. I just wanted to surrender to everything. I went to my pastor and he said, now, you need to go to Bible college. That'd be a good thing for you to do. So I went to Bible college, and as God started dealing with me, I thought, well, maybe someday I'll be a missionary. The last thing I really wanted to do was pastor. No offense to preacher, to me, it's our job. It's what God's called us to do. And after 30 years, I'm very glad I obeyed the Lord. But can I tell you, you know, it's amazing to me. God is not done supplying the needs, and he needs people on the mission field. I'll say it again. He needs people on the mission field. Remember, David Livingston made the statement, Christ alone can save anyone, but Christ can't save the world alone. It's pray. You know what the Lord's prayer request was? Somebody preached about it this week. The prayer request of Jesus was, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers. The world is dying and going to hell, and somebody needs to reach them. God's not done supplying. The Holy Spirit's not done working. Maybe it's the fact we're saying no. Maybe it's the fact that parents are saying no. We need not do that. Don't deny the Holy Spirit working in your life. The Holy Spirit of God isn't finished supplying the needs of the saints. And then the last point is this. Look at verse number 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. The Holy Spirit isn't finished magnifying our Savior through preaching and teaching the Word of God. We still need to preach the Word of God. We still need to do that. Preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, it's not me that's going to save them. It's not Brother Ron or Brother Larry. It's not your pastor. Jesus has to save them. And we need to preach Jesus to them. Amen. We need to preach Jesus. We need to bring men to Jesus. We need to go out in this Seattle area and tell people about Jesus and bring them to Jesus. This missions conference should not stop tonight. The Holy Spirit wants to continue to work through you so you will preach to other people. You're the gospel. It's going to go through you. We need to tell others about Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 8, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Colossians 1:25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something, folks? We can go out and we can be friendly and we can be kind and so forth, and that all is a wonderful thing. Be nice neighbors. But what people need is they need Jesus. They need Jesus. They need the Lord. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit, or we're not going to get the job done. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, where's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I was a school principal in 1984, and we had a big program like you all are getting ready to have. I was a school principal, staff member, and the preacher challenged us to go out and try to win somebody to the Lord, bring visitors in. My wife and I went and visited, and I want to tell the story to tie in soul winning with missions. It's just amazing. Again, I say this. We are hypocrites if we send these missionaries out and we don't go soul winning here in Seattle area. So, I was praying about being a missionary. The Lord directed me into education and then into pastoring. But I said, well, I'm going to go find somebody. And there's a fellow that was in our school. His name was Tim, a little boy, Tim Bartlett. His mom and dad didn't come to church. And I thought, well, I'll start there. So I went and visited Bob and Vinnie Bartlett, my wife and I did. Bob was a golfer. He was a very good golfer. He golfed every Sunday. And he did not want to give up golf for Sunday morning preaching. And that we were having Dr. Curtis Hudson preaching that morning. And so I said, Debbie, let's go see if we can get Bob and Vinnie to come. And I sat down, and I'm a pretty direct kind of fella, and I'm not very suave or savvy, but I just went in, sat down, and I said, Bob, people have asked you and asked you and asked you to come to church, and you've refused. What excuse do you have? And he looked at me, and he says, well, I really don't have a good excuse. I said, good. I want to see you Sunday morning in church. And Bob looked at me, and he goes, okay, I'll be there. So Bob and Vinny promised they would come. Second Sunday of October, 1984. And sure enough, I said, Bob, I'll come pick you up. No, we'll drive. I said, Bob, I'm going to call you. He said, Brother Bragg, I've never given my word to anyone before. I give you my word, I'll be there. I said, okay, Bob. So he shows up. We sat in the balcony. Brother Hudson preached a message, great message on salvation. I leaned over to Bob and I said, Bob, wouldn't you like to get saved? He said, I would. He walked the aisle. My wife walked the aisle with Vinny, and they trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Well, Bob got in. I mean, Bob was just the type of guy. He's wherever he's at, he's all there. And so, by the way, that's a quote from Jim Elliott, the missionary that lost his life to the Aka Indians. He made this statement, wherever you're at, be all there. I like that statement. Well, that was Bob Bartlett. Bob, he just couldn't do enough at church. He was at church all the time. And you could see God working in his life. And he started working with a guy that was a missionary to Australia. And pretty soon, God dealt with his heart about being a missionary to Australia. And so Bob took off on deputation, and he starts traveling the country, raising money to go to Australia. And he goes up to New York, and he's preaching in a church, and the 17-year-old teenage boy comes up to him and says, I believe God wants me to be a missionary to Australia. And Bob says to him, what's your name? He says, my name is Bob Heberle, Robert Heberle. And Bob pulled out a key and said, this is a key to my apartment. He says, when you get to Australia, you look me up. Well, Bob Heberle meant business with God. And Bob Heberle went to Bible college, went to OBC, and he finished college, and he started on deputation. And the first church that he goes to, or one of the first churches he goes to, is Cornerstone Baptist Church in Missouri City, Texas, where Pastor Ard Sr. pastors. And he was so impressive to the young people there, and to one particular young lady named Heidi, the preacher's daughter. And Heidi said to her dad, said, Dad, where does that guy go to college? He said, well, he goes to OBC. So I think that's where I want to go to college. So she goes to OBC. Well, she goes in mid-year. Your dad had some health issues, and so she went in January. Our oldest son didn't start college. He finished at ITT the year before he went to a technical institute, before he went to Bible college. That's a long story because he wasn't ready and mentally and mature enough. I said, you're staying home under my direction. You're going to college. And it was a tough year. We learned a lot that year, he and I. But in January, he went off to Bible college and he met Heidi Ard. It's the only girl he's ever dated. It's the only guy she ever dated. And now they've been married since 2004. So here's, you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say soul winning and missions pays benefits that we have a hard time seeing. See, a guy that I led to Christ, surrendered to be a missionary, who influenced a teenager, who influenced another, who became a missionary, who influenced another teenager, who became my daughter-in-law. Can I tell you something, Brother Larry? I couldn't have orchestrated that. I couldn't have done that on my own. Only God could do that. So what I'm saying is this, God's not done using us to reach others for Christ. Here's the message tonight, or here's the invitation, the question. Are you willing to let God use you to bring others to Christ? Are you willing to let God use you to bring others to Christ? This missions conference may close tonight, but the Holy Spirit isn't done working yet. He's not done working. He's not done working. How many would say, Brother Bragg, I know if I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. I am saved. I'm born again. There was a time in my life when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Here's my hand. I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. God bless you. You can take your hands down. Would you bow your heads, please?